A very pleasant good afternoon to you. We are so thankful that you have joined us to go to the Bible for all the answers that pertain to life and godliness. We wish you a very pleasant December the 6th, and we are glad to be able to be of service to you. We hope and pray that you will have your Bibles ready, paper to write down the answers, and your questions ready to be called into us. We are looking forward to that. And we hope and pray that you are getting ready to be able to find the answers that maybe you've been thinking about, pondering about for quite some time, or maybe some things that have happened today. So get ready to write down the answers, to find the answer, have your Bible ready to go to the Bible for the answers to the questions that are on your mind. This program is absolutely free, and everything we offer is free, so please don't hesitate to join us as we go to the Bible for the answers to your questions. Now, the voice line is 308-9564. Both lines are available right now. And if you want to, you can text us right now, even while we are in the studio here. And that number for texting is 725-9283. All the questions that you ask will be answered on today's broadcast. This is a live program, and so don't miss out on getting your questions answered even today as we let the Bible speak. And so don't miss out on this. Again, the text line is 725-9283. The voice line is 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. Steve, I believe you have the first question.
Yes, I have a question here by Joe. We're starting early today in our questions, and so we're grateful for your a readiness to be able to ask those questions. And this one, I think Joe said, told the operator that he heard this on the TV or radio this morning. And so Joe's question is, what do they mean by Hail Mary by grace? Well, I don't know if you were watching SportsCenter or you're watching a religious programming, but you know, you hear a hail.
There is a different definition.
Yes,
isn't there?
That's right. You know, and I know y'all listening out there have heard the they threw a Hail Mary pass, and they just throw it up there. And
I don't
just
think that's what he means.
I don't think that's what he means either. Okay. But Hail Mary by grace, and so if you go to the Gospel of Luke, when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and announced the birth of Jesus. What I'm looking for, Joe, is whether this is particularly in the King James or New King James. But when the angel comes to Mary, he says to her, gives her greetings, and then those greetings, he may say hail to Mary, as in a greeting. And so what religion has done with that Hail Mary is it's a prayer to Mary to intercede with Jesus, who will then intercede with God to get some blessing from God. And so that's as clear as I can try to answer that question. There is no passage that I know that talks about Hail Mary by grace, and so not really sure what else to tell you other than that. So I know it's used a lot by those of the Catholic faith as part of their saying of the Rosary, and the whole point of that is to appeal to Mary, who will then intercede with Jesus. And what the Bible tells us about who intercedes with whom, well, that is Jesus. Jesus is the one who intercedes for us, and that's why we pray in the name of Jesus. He is the intercessor with us. In fact, if you go to 1 John chapter 2, that's exactly what the verse says there concerning the role of Jesus in what when we ask God and pray to God for any kind of blessing. It's not through Mary, but it is through Jesus. And so we'll look at that passage real quick, and then we'll go on. 2 John chapter 1 and verse 2 is the verse we're looking at. And I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 2. I said 2 John 1. It's 1 John chapter 2. And I came, here we go. 1 John chapter 2. There we go. So in verse 1, it says, "My little children, I write these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." And so that's the passage that says who intercedes for us with God. And so also we got a follow-up question from Joe clarifying where he heard this and what it was about. It was on a TV program about Christmas, and they said, "Hail Mary, full of grace." That text, that passage, those words are not found in the scriptures that I know of. And so I am, as we're talking, Joe, I am searching to see exactly what, where that might be found. And so I appreciate you calling back and letting us know where you heard that from so that we're not thinking it was SportsCenter or something. But I have put in Hail Mary, and I have nothing's coming up on my search. So I just have to assume, Joe, that that is the a phrase that man has come up with and not God. So I appreciate so much you asking that. It's always good to check, and I appreciate Joe for checking. What you hear may not always be in the scriptures, and so a good way to find out is just to give us a call. So we appreciate that. If you've got a question like Joe, 308-9564 is the voice line. Text line is 725-9283.
Yes, and so don't miss out on getting your question answered on today's broadcast. Is Let the Bible Speak. This is a live broadcast, and you can contact us right now. If you have a question, don't hesitate to call in your question to 308-9564. That is the voice line. So you call, you actually speak to someone, they'll have your question written down, or you can go live over the air. If that is the case, all we ask is that you give us your name and be ready to turn your radio down so there will not be a distracting confusion of echoing. And so please be ready to do that if you want to go live on the air. So now's your chance to call in your question, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Talking about text, we have someone from the phone number of 8025 that calls in this question. Their question is, "I feel horrible with a I sleep with a married man, and I constantly ask for forgiveness for things, and I go back and do it. I need help." Well, yes, we all need help. We all sin and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23. And what we've earned by the sin is the wage of sin is death, Romans 6 and verse 23. So what should we do about those things in order to get over that practice of sin? Well, first of all, we have to repent. Now, most people don't know that repentance, what it means. It means stop it, to turn away from it. Do not continue to do it. Like the woman that Jesus was confronted with that was taken in adultery. That's very similar to your circumstance there. And as she was thrown down at Jesus' feet, after all of the accusers walked away one by one, he turns to her and tells her to go and sin no more. That's what repentance is. That's what John the Baptist taught in Matthew 3 and verse 8. "Bring forth therefore fruit to demonstrate or meet for your repentance," to show that. Now, that repentance must come from a sorrowful heart, that is a godly sorrow. In 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, not to be regretted, but sorrow of the world produces death." So what you're experiencing there is sorrow, which is good. But you need to let that godly sorrow drive you to turn away from that sin. And caller, I would encourage you to not just stop there. I would encourage you to go ahead and pursue righteousness as the Bible shows us how to live right. And when you begin that journey toward eternity, well, you're going to feel a whole lot better toward God and toward eternity and the natural consequences toward life in general. And so if you want to help yourself, then move toward God and do what he says. Again, those verses were Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8, 2 Corinthians 7. Go ahead and read verse 9 and 10. And then also, what was the first verse I used? I've slipped. I'm sorry. So I hope those are helpful to you. And thank you so much, both of y'all. Thank you for your questions. And we sure appreciate your interest in knowing what God's Word says. You are to be commended. And we thank you so much for your interest in knowing what God says. God says, seek and you will find. Thank you for seeking. That is encouraging to us, very much so. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, go ahead and call them in right now, 308-9564. That's 308-9564. That's the voice line. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. It's time for us to take our first break. Continue with your questions, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Continue right now to call in your questions, and we will get to them right after the break. The number to call for the voice line is 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283. Please pay special attention to the information we're about to give you about a free course that you can study God's Word with through the mail. And then respond to this. And it'll always be free. We will never ask for a single penny. We are happy to share with you the treasure in God's Word. We'll be right back. We are back now. We hope and pray that you will take advantage of that Bible correspondence course and be able to enroll in that. It will be in the mail this week. So please don't miss out on getting that very important way to study God's Word. By the way, you may discover things in God's Word that you've never seen before. And if you like this program, you will get 10 times more benefit out of studying the Bible for yourself. So please don't miss out on that. And we will be glad to send it to you. We will never ask for a handout. We will never ask for a donation. So please just put away your checkbook, put away your wallet. We do not want your contribution. We want to give you treasure that will never be taken away from you. So please don't miss out on getting this benefit to you, this Bible study to you in the mail. And we'll be glad to be able to share that with you free of charge. Again, that number for the free course is 553-5157, 553-5157. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Steve?
Yes, I wanted to apologize to Joe. I was looking for that verse he asked about, Hail Mary by grace, where in the world is that in the Bible, or Hail Mary full of grace. And I just remembered that it was in one translation of the Bible. It's in Luke chapter 1, verse 28, where the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And so some people have taken that and made it into a prayer that we pray to Mary, which is an abuse of the teaching of Scripture, as we already alluded to when we read 1 John chapter 2, that Jesus is the one who intercedes. Well, I just want to clarify that there is the word Hail Mary in the text, in the passage, but it's not used in the way that men use it. So that's a good illustration for us of the importance of context. It's just not sufficient enough to say, oh, that's in the Bible. Well, Job's wife cursed God, that's in the Bible too, but that's not something we ought to be doing. So we need to make sure we do context.
Did you bring out 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5 in that?
No, I did not. Okay. That would be a good one.
Yeah, it says, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. And so if Jesus is the only mediator between us and God, then we shouldn't be We shouldn't belittle Christ because that's his role. And so let's make certain that we give him all the glory and honor that we can. He certainly deserves more than we can give him, but let's do our best and not dilute it by such as that. Ladies and gentlemen, some of y'all are on Facebook, and there is a gentleman here that has set our radio program up to where that you can interact with us through Facebook, and he's here to tell us more about it. Ricardo?
Thank you, Ricky. Just want everyone to keep in mind, if you're not able to text in your question or call the voice line, you can access Facebook, search Low Country Church. That's Low Country Church, and send us a message, your question. Join our page, Low Country Church. If you have any questions, you can hit us up on Facebook, and we will be happy and honored to answer your question. Again, that's Low Country Church on Facebook. Find us, like our page, and if you have a question, go ahead and send us a message, and we'll get your question answered.
If you'd like to participate in the program more with more traditional means, you, of course, can do that through the voice line, and you'll be hearing this number throughout the program because some people will join the program midway or towards the end of the program, and so we just remind people of the number to call, and that's 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283, and both of those numbers are 843, as you might imagine. So we invite you to participate with us in any and all ways that you might desire to, whatever you're more comfortable with. You might be more of an avid Facebook user, and if that's the case, if that's easier for you, then we invite you to join us through those means. We want as many people as possible to have access to this program, not just the people who listen to us on WJNI, for which we are very, very grateful. But there are so many means of technology that allow this program to go beyond the listening audience of WJNI. If you've got friends or relatives that maybe live in different states, but they have access to a computer or to a tablet, they can listen to this program wherever they are. And so we invite you to participate in that means as well. And, of course, anybody can enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course simply by dialing that 843-553-5157, and you can enlist in that study of the Bible as well. And it will be a great opportunity for you to read and study the Bible for your own selves. And so we invite you to participate in all of those things as well. Okay. We've got another. You got to go ahead.
Yes, I got a question here from a text in from the phone number of 611, last three digits. We want to say thank you for participating, and we appreciate your question so much. Their question is, what does the Bible say about pride and disobedience as a child to your parents? Well, it's very clear what the Bible says and very forthright. I will try to limit my answer to the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Verse 2, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long upon the earth." So there are several things there, and he pulls it directly from the Old Testament, which is interesting enough. And then he says that we've got to do that today as well. We children have to learn to obey. Obedience is doing what one is saying, doing what is said to them or commanded to them or told them, regardless of whether they agree with it or not. The only caveat, the only exception to that rule is the last three words. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That is, if they ask you to do something that goes against what God says, then you are not to obey them because you must obey the higher authority, which is God. Then in verse 2, it says, honor your father and mother. That means to do what is going to make them happy. If you tell something that is hurting someone, or do something that is hurting someone, or are not living up to what they would expect you to do, well, that is not honoring your father and mother. If later on when they are needing your help, and your welfare. You got to make certain you honor them as well. That is very clear throughout the Bible that is throughout life. It's not just till you leave home. You've got to obey. You've got to honor all the days of your life if you are to be pleasing to God. And so what does the Bible say about pride and disobedience? Well, let me touch on pride as well. In Philippians chapter 2, it says in verse 3, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And let each of you look not out for his own interest only, but also the interest of others." And so that is the removal of pride to where that you cannot, you will not be acting out of self-interest, but rather we should be like Christ. The next verse says, "Let this mind be in you," which was also in Christ Jesus. So there you have it. If we're going to be Christ-like, we're going to selflessly serve and to do, as God says first and foremost, and all authorities involved, including parents, including officers of the law and government officials, in the Lord. God and His Word trumps everything. Thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate that very much and hope that's been helpful to you. Again, that was Ephesians 6, verse 1 and 2, and also Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 through 6. Again, if you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, 308-WJNI, or if you'd rather text, you can text us at 725-9283.
Oh, well, we want to appreciate Miss Jean who called up and gave us that verse that we were looking for with the space of the phone call getting in and the time we're able to go on the air. She sent that to us, and we really appreciate that. Luke 1:28 is the thing that she had sent in to us, so we appreciate her listening. We appreciate the backup from those who are listening to us. We have a question that came in about, when I became a Christian, or when I become a Christian, who is my brother and sister? Well, the quick and easy answer to that is everybody else who became a Christian. Let me give you an example of that in Acts chapter 2, where it talks about those people who were told to repent and to be baptized for the remission of their sins. And there were 3,000 who did that particular day. So that's Acts 2, verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And then as it talks about those who did that, those in verse 41, who gladly received his word, were baptized. And then verse 42 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer." So that word fellowship suggests that they were participating in those things mutually. Verse 46 says, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate with food with gladness and simplicity of heart." So these were people who were in fellowship with each other. First John also talks about this when he talks about that. First John verses 1 through 4 says that they wrote to them about Jesus, things that they had known about Jesus. Verse 3 particularly says, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us." And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. "And these things we write to you so that your joy may be full." So they communicated that message so that their fellowship would be with the apostles, because their fellowship is truly with the Father. So when we share fellowship with the Father, and others have fellowship with the Father, then automatically that has us having fellowship with each other. And so that's very, very important. And also, it is also goes on to say in 1 John 1, as well as in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, that we need to be careful that we have fellowship with those who walk in the light and not those who walk in the darkness. And so that would be the thing that would exclude people from our fellowship, those who are not walking with the Lord. And so we appreciate so much that question. If you've got a question, give us a call, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
Time for us to go to our next break. We want you to know what we're about to tell you about is very, very important. You may discover the final truths in God's Word that you that could prevent you from going to heaven. And if you don't know what God expects of us, then we may be on the wrong track. And even though the track may parallel to what God wants, that doesn't mean that we're on His track. We need to find out the truth, find out if we're on the right track that will lead us to heaven. The reason I say that, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of our Father who is in heaven." So let's make certain we're doing the will of the Father and we're not doing the will of somebody else or some other doctrine. Let's make certain. How can we do that? Let's get into the Word. How can we get into the Word? I'm glad you asked. Here's information on that, and we'll be glad to send it to you free of charge. We are back live now, and we are glad to be of service, and we hope that you are ready to call in your questions and that we will be glad to be able to direct you to book, chapter, and verse. So please don't hesitate to join us right now, 308-9564, to call in your question. That is the voice line. Or if you'd rather, you can text us your question. That is always available, 725-9283. We live in a day and a time where things are just up and down and right and left. We really just tend to don't know which way to go sometimes. Well, let's get the direction that our Creator wanted us to be on to begin with. When you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, even Solomon was in a dilemma, not knowing this way or that way, the wisest man in the world. So it doesn't matter how wise we are or how smart we are. All of us can be in a dilemma from time to time. And so some of these times we just need to have the direction from our Creator, from His Word. So if you have a question, call 308-9564. We'll go to the Bible for the answer. Or if you'd just rather text it, maybe you don't want to talk to someone, text at 725-9283. 725-9283. Okay, Ricardo, I think you've got the next question.
Thank you, Ricky. Question comes from phone number 5113. Their question is, what sacrifice is Jesus calling us to help others come to know him? That is a very important question, and it is all of our responsibility to help others know Jesus. I want to direct you to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18 and 19, Matthew's 28, 18 and 19. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So we see that is our responsibility. That is something we ought to be doing, teaching Jesus and his gospel to the world. But you mentioned sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So our lives should be dedicated to God. As far as sacrifice, we should be willing to give up everything for the sake of Christ, for the sake of helping others come to know him. So you ask, what sacrifice is Jesus calling us to? Well, he's asking us to give our all to him in order to bring others. Thank you for your question.
Again, if you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That is the voice line, 308-9564. And both lines are available, so you could get in right now if you wanted to call, 308-9564. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Steve?
Yes, we have Miss Jean calling in again. We appreciate so much your participating today, both by helping us out with that one verse in Luke 1:28, as well as these questions. So there's two questions, And we're going to kind of answer them together because they do involve one another. One, first question is, explain the difference that, say, called on the Lord to be saved, those verses that talk about that, and the other verses that say repent and be saved or repent and be baptized. And so the simple answer is that those are really talking about the same thing. So let's go to the verses in the Scripture that will tell us that. The first time that appears in the book of Acts is in chapter 2, verse 21, as a result of Joel's prophecy that the last days of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit would come, and this was demonstrated in Acts chapter 2 with a coming upon the apostles. So verse 21 says of Acts chapter 2, again, that's where Joel's prophecy is quoted by Peter, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that's the last verse that of Joel's prophecy that Peter quotes. And then in verse 22, he starts talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he introduces that by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and starting in verse 22, and continues talking about the resurrection all the way through verse 36, where he tells those people that this Jesus whom you crucified has been made both Lord and Christ. Well, they were pricked in their heart and said, "What shall we do?" And Peter told them to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Now, go back to Acts 2:21, where it says, "All those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's part of Joel's prophecy. Well, Peter evidently understood that to include repentance and baptism. That's how they were calling on the Lord. And then let's go to another passage in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, that probably is more clear about making these two things, calling on the name of the Lord and being baptized, as two things that happened at the same time. This is the record of Saul of Tarsus, who was a persecutor of Christians, and the Lord appears to him on that road, and he says, "You go to Damascus, and it'll be told you what you must do." He's there 3 days, neither eating nor drinking, and praying, and Ananias is told by the Lord to come to him. And so in verse 16, here's what Ananias tells Saul. He said, "Now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So that, again, takes us back to what Peter said about Joel's prophecy in Acts 2:21. And he told them to repent and be baptized. Here in Acts 22:16, both being baptized and calling on the name of the Lord are being mentioned. So I hope that that answers your question. Again, those two things are the same. Acts 2:21, Acts 2:38, and Acts 22:16. Appreciate so much that question and the ability to clarify those things for our listening audience. If you have a question, call us at 308-9564 or text us 725-9283. Ricky?
We are ready to receive your question, so go ahead and call. The voice lines are available, 308-9564. Now, if you'd rather text, you can text us that way, but by all means, do not go any further through life without knowing what God has to say to those questions that are on your heart. The truth is, there will be many people that may not fare well on Judgment Day simply because they do not know the truth. So let's make certain that we remove all the question marks and find out what our God expects of us before we meet Him face to face one day. And believe me, we will meet Him face to face one day. And He will be wearing the hat of judge at that time. So right now, while He's wearing the hat, so to speak, of Savior to wash away and redeem us from our sins, let's connect with Him now. And the only way to do that is for us to find out what He expects of us from His Word. So get your questions answered today, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Ricardo, you have a question from Michael, I believe.
Yes, thank you, Michael, for calling in your question. Michael asks, "Exodus, keeping the Sabbath, what does Jesus say about the Sabbath, and do we still keep it?" That's a very important question. It's important for us to understand that The keeping of the Sabbath was a law in the Old Testament. It was a law that was given to the Jews. What does Jesus say about it? Well, let me direct you to Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. I'm going to read to you Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to shame, to open shame, by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Again, verse 14 is key, that he has nailed these things to the cross. We are no longer under obligation to keep the laws that were given to the Jewish people. Thank you again, Michael, for your question. We really appreciate your heart in seeking God's word and his answers.
Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will go to the Bible for the answers to the questions on your mind. The text line, if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Now, we want you to know where it's time for us to take our next break, but we're about to tell you about this correspondence course. It is something that will help you a lot because you'll get into the Word. Why not get all of the questions answered from God's Word alone so that we might be able to find out what He expects of us? Studying the Bible for yourself will build faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when we study His Word, we're actually hearing what God expects of us. So let's get into the Word and find it for ourselves. And here's a tool to be able to help you. All you have to do is call 553-5157, and it will be in the mail to you this week. And you'll be able to start discovering the riches that are truly contained in God's Word that will help you forever. Isn't that what we want? We want our lives to be okay eternally, not just the here and now. So begin that journey of an eternity today. Call 553-5157 and hear what God has to say to you. Go ahead and call 553-5157. Now, if you have a question while we are at break, you can continue with your questions, 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be at simply by calling 553-5157. You will receive such a blessing from receiving the Word of God on your own discovery. You know, if we on the radio program today reveal something to you that you may have never seen before, you may go, well, huh, wow, I've never noticed that before. But then, let's say that you're studying God's Word, you're reading, you're maybe directing to a passage through the course, and you discover something that is eternal life changing, and you see that, you won't be just going saying, you won't just respond by saying, huh, well, that's interesting. No, you're going to respond by saying, whoa, God wants me to do this? And you just read it right out of His Word, and so, yes. And thus, that will be life-changing. And so, please, you have nothing to lose. We'll never ask for a donation. It is absolutely free. Make certain that you do not miss out on getting this correspondence course to you. All you have to do is call 553-5157. Studying the Bible for yourself will make a great difference in your life. So let's remove all of the blocks, all of the blinders, all of the distractions, all of the confusions that the devil may have put in our path, and let us find the pure, unadulterated Word of God, and let Him make us into the Son's image. Let us hide the Word of God in our heart that will keep us from sin. One more time, that number is 553-5157. Now, if you have a question, You can call us right now. We are live in the studio waiting on the next question, 308-9564, 308-9564, and we'll let the Bible speak. Steve?
I'm going to read some verses here for you, and I want you to guess what this is talking about, okay? For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power.
Isn't that talking about the last days?
Well, I thought it was talking about today.
Well, it is. You know,
that's exactly
what's going to happen in the last days. Verse 1 there.
So, you know, you think in terms of all the stuff that's going on in the news recently, a couple weeks ago, maybe you're just seeing all kinds of chaos going on in the world. Well, have you ever thrown up your hands and asked, what can I do about that? What can I do about that? Is there anything I can do? Am I helpless? Am I at the mercy of the people in government who are passing all kinds of strange laws? What's my option here? Well, go down to verse 10. By the way, I was reading 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul is talking to Timothy. But here's the solution, that it doesn't depend on government. It doesn't depend on any dictate or law passed. It says, Paul says to Timothy, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Boy, that's about as opposite as you can get from the other things we read, isn't it? And so then Paul goes on to talk about the persecutions and afflictions in verse 11, which happened to him at various cities like Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. And he says, persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But he goes on to say in verse 14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that's why we have this program, Let the Bible Speak. That's why we encourage the Bible Correspondence Course, because the solution of getting through all this mess is the same kind of solution that was offered back then and will continue to be the solution for all man's ills, and that is that we give ourselves to the teaching, to the study, and to the living of the Scriptures and the teachings of those things. You know, you and I are not going to be able to get out of this world without some kind of difficulty. So let's get out of this world with our soul intact, and that can happen if we've been made wise into salvation through the Scriptures, and that will be a great blessing to us. So give us a call here, 308-9564, or text us, 725-9283.
And Steve, they have another option in case they don't have a phone to call or text. They can look up Low Country Church on Facebook and send us a message through that avenue. We would get it here, right here in the radio station, and we will be able to answer your question. Whatever is on your mind, whatever is on your heart, go ahead and contact us. The voice line, 308-9564, text line 725-9283, or Facebook, Low Country Church on Facebook.
Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564. That is the voice line. We are standing by waiting on your question, and we will be glad to go to the Bible for the question that is on your mind. So don't miss out on getting your question on today's broadcast, 308-9564. Or if you'd rather, you can text us at 725-9283. The text number is 725-9283. We want to let those of you that have enrolled in the Bible Correspondence Course already today that know that we will get this in the mail to you this week, and so be looking for it in your mailbox sometimes probably Wednesday or maybe even as quick as Tuesday, and we'll be glad to send that to you. And please know that we ask you to not send a donation. We are just happy to give you the treasure that is contained in God's Word, but you've got to study it. Don't let it just be a piece of junk mail and be thrown away, but rather open it, study it, open up your Word, spend time with God, letting God instruct you from His Word on how to show yourself approved unto God. 2 Timothy tells us to do that. Study or give diligence to showing yourself approved unto God, to be a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, or accurately handling. We've got to get into His Word, or we will not escape this life for joy. That's for certain. But if we are safe in God's arms, when we leave this life, it will be a time for rejoicing. Now, what kind of epitaph would you like on your tombstone? Would you want one of saying, well, he lived life to the fullest, and then he died? Or would you rather on your tombstone saying, he is now resting in the arms of a loving God and safe and secure in his gracious mercy? And don't you want that? The only way to do that is for us to show ourselves approved unto God. So let's discover the truth that may set you free from the burdens of sin and death and darkness. Let us get into His Word and find the answers that will help us on this journey. The question line is available, the voice line. Both lines are available. You can get through right now, 308-9564. Or you can text us your question at 725-9283. Get your question in right now, and we will go to the Bible for the answer that pertains to life and godliness. Steve?
We have a question here from Jerome about the communion order, and he particularly asks, should there be praying for the sick and other things while communion are going on? That's a great question. It seems like in sometimes when we pray, that we pray about anything and everything at times when maybe we ought to be focusing on one thing. There are prayers, as Jesus taught the disciples to pray, about food, about forgiveness, about His will being done, and other kinds of things. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and this is a real specific situation because this is asking about communion, and so we're going to look at this verse, and we're going to read it, and then maybe help us all draw a conclusion about what ought to be done with communion. So in verse 23, let's go ahead and begin in verse 27, as Paul has already quoted what Jesus said about the bread being his body and the fruit of the vine being his blood. And the last part of that, in verse 25, he says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And then it talks about verse 26, as often as you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death. Now, here are some important things to think about what we might be praying about. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So as you think about those verses, it's talking to us about focusing on the death and of the suffering of Jesus for our sins. And so what happens if people in the prayer start talking about the sick? It's talking about traveling and traveling mercies and all those kinds of things. Where's your mind going to go? Well, if your mind's like mine, it'll be following that kind of track. So if we focus then on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in our prayer, it really helps us to take the Lord's Supper properly. So, Jerome, we appreciate so much the specific and the spiritual aspect of that question. That is so, so good and so helpful. We're about to go to our another break to tell you about the importance of Bible study, and motivation, encouragement for you to study the Bible on your own, and that would be such a blessing to you. So please give some thought to this, and we will be right back. We are so grateful for you continuing with us. It may be that you have just joined us, and we are appreciative of the fact that you have made a spiritual decision to spend your afternoon in looking and thinking about and searching God's Word with us. And again, we want to emphasize that with us. We feel like that those who call in, those who text in, that we're together in this search of the Scriptures to see whether or not what the Bible or whatever the Bible says about whatever question you might have. We're just in sync with that, and so grateful for your ability to participate with us in this study of God's Word. If you would like to join us, you can do so all kinds of ways. Facebook has been mentioned. Of course, the ever-familiar phone number, 308-9564, the text line, 725-9283, and you can join us here, and we would so much appreciate that. So let's go to our next question, Ricky.
Yes, we have Solomon calling in this question. It's a little confusing about what you actually intended, so you may need to call back, but here's what we have. Does the Bible say anything about a certain boy being born into a family, anything special as far as a special boy or a special person being born from birth and such? I think that's what you're meaning. And if that is the case, the answer is found in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, 35. Peter there opening up his mouth with the Gentile audience, first one. It says that in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. That's also expressed in James, and I believe Peter as well, talking about that God is no respecter of persons or does not show partiality, shows no partiality with anyone. And so it's those who will work righteousness, those who will do his will be accepted and follow his word. If God did single out certain people these days in this age, then he would be showing partiality. And thus, that would not be true of what we just read in his word. So as far as someone being special, it depends on what you're calling special. But as far as in God's eyes, there does not seem to be any partiality. There is no partiality with God. And Acts chapter 10, verse 34, 35, and also James chapter 2, and so on. So hopefully that is helpful to you. And if you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That is the voice line, 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283.
We, again, are appreciative so much of your help with this program. We thank you that you have a desire to know what God's Word says and that you are searching, you are seeking. And when we have people like that, you know, you just think about what Jesus said. And this is such a great promise that Jesus gives to people like yourself who are spending this time today to see what God's Word says about all kinds of questions that you're facing, that you're dealing with. I mean, each of us deal with all kinds of different things in our lifetime, and we want to know, is the Bible relevant? Does the Bible have anything to say about this? And we want to assure you that it's been our experience that, yes, the Bible has something to say about everything that we would need to know in order to please him. Things about our family, how to be a father, how to be a son, a daughter. And so that's very important. So here's what Jesus says about the question process and people who are asking. He says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. That is a wonderful blessing, a wonderful promise from Jesus that while we have all of these questions, well, we need to ask the right person. We need to ask the Bible. And so that's what this program's all about. And we're so grateful that you're taking advantage of that today. And please continue, and we will continue to go to the Scriptures and look for the answer.
Yes, we have Gideon. Oh, a live caller. We have a live caller standing by the name of... Okay, well, I'm sorry. We normally get your name. And oh, okay, it is Gilda. How do you say your name? Are you there?
You speaking to me?
Yeah, yes, say your name again.
I give my name Gadsden.
Gadsden?
Gadsden.
Okay, all right, thank you. We wrote it down wrong here. So how can we help you, Gadsden?
Now, the question I want to ask, you know, well, I hear Christian people talking all over the world what we should do and everything, and the time going by, all kinds of things happening. When we can make a stand, right from the President Obama, he's talking all against Christian also.
Yeah.
When we can make a stand and let him know this world belongs to God, and we're going to try to take the world back like it's supposed to be. Because we be talking to the poor people.
Well,
and then a lot of people who listen to religion, a lot of people don't have, right now, I know I'm ignorant in some things too.
Well,
a lot of it is ignorant and Muslim in it, and Christianity, just go to church and sit there and say they've been to church today. But what I'm saying, when are we going to stand and wait till we go to the poll to try to vote somebody out, than to go ahead to the poll and get together and fight for Christianity? Because if you look, them people come across here, don't have, the country don't have no gun, and then we got gun over here, which, well, people kill people. The gun don't kill people. The gun be on that ground for years, and if nobody never bothered, we never bothered nobody.
Okay.
There are people over there who run across there. They had guns. They could defend themselves.
Yes, sir.
But what I'm saying, we got to, as Christian people, we got to start challenging Christianity.
Okay, well, Gaston, let's see what the Bible says. There are a couple of verses that come to mind. One is John 18, verse 36, when Jesus was asked about being king. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. For if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight that I would not be delivered to the Jews. So they didn't take up arms and fight back then. And he says his servants were not to do it. His servants were not to fight back. And then also when you look in Luke chapter 13, he was confronted about a political situation where there was horrible thing that was practiced by political leaders or the powers that be back then. And he tells them not once but twice under two different dilemmas. He said, I tell you no, you know, we shouldn't be reacting that way, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And so he says that in Luke 13:3 and 13:5 about the two situations he was addressing there. So that's the way that we're supposed to respond, Gadsden. I too agree with you that I should be paying attention to this. And being that we do have a voice in this nation where we can express it with a vote, but as far as our serving him, well, you know, we're supposed to just serve him for eternity and help people to get to heaven. Whether people die from a bullet or old age is what's important, is what we do after we leave these bodies behind. Does that make sense, Gadsden?
Well, to tell the truth, I'm on the road now, 71 years old. 71.
Well,
and,
you're a young fellow, aren't you?
If we're not going to protect ourselves and that like, telling the you people they can shoot us down, everything be all right. That was happening now.
Well, don't listen to me. That was John. Don't listen to me. That was John 18:36. That was Jesus was saying, John 18:36. And that was Luke 13, verse 3 and verse 5. And so that's what God says in his word. And all of those were direct quotes from Jesus Christ himself.
Well, like I said, this is like a hang up, man. We ain't going nowhere then. That's like a massacre killing all over this world. And you're right.
Those things are going to happen, and they'll continue to happen. They were happening even in the Bible. Read Luke 13 there, and you'll see that. There were mass killings there in Luke 13 and how Jesus instructed his disciples to respond to it. Luke 13, verses 3 through 5. Thank you, guests, and we sure appreciate it. All right, bye-bye. Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-9564. That's the direct line for your voice, and you can get on the radio station answering or respond live as Gadsden did, or if you'd rather just text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Ricardo?
All right, we got a question from Bobby J. I'm sorry. Question is, where does it say in the Bible, what does it prosper a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Thank you so much for asking that question, Bobby J. You would find that in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. That's Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. Steve, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Maybe we'll get this in before the break. This is about a passage in the book of Acts. They're asking, when it mentions Easter, what does that mean? Well, if you have a King James Bible, because it's only found in the King James, Acts chapter 12, verse 4, and this has...
That would be the old King James.
That would be the old King James, that's right. So this is about Herod the king. James has been beheaded. He wants to do the same to Peter. But verse 4 says, and when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him. Oops, I'm reading the new King James. Pardon me. I have to go to the King James because it says, the only word different is, intending to bring him before the people after Easter is what the King James says. Now, that is the only translation that uses the word Easter, but it is correctly translated Passover. And you know that by reading verse 3, where it talks about the days of unleavened bread. It was during the days of unleavened bread when Peter was seized. And so he wanted to do something after the Passover, which is another term for unleavened bread. So that's a good way contextually to realize what the correct translation there is.
Yes, unfortunately, every translation there is has a little glitch here and there. And you just have to study a little bit to find out what those are, because we're talking English, and they were written down in Greek in the New Testament, that is. We're about to take our last break, ladies and gentlemen. So this is your last 15 minutes to enroll during the broadcast. You can enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course at 553-5157 right now. If you call, you can leave your name and address. We will get that in the mail to you, and you will be well on your way to discovering the treasure that will be eternally a blessing to you, 553-5157. Now, we also only have 15 more minutes to get your questions in, so now's your chance. Call now, or you'll just have to continue on wondering what the answer is. The voice line is 308-9564. The text line, you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We're back live now, and we are glad that you have joined us today. This is the last section of the radio program, the last 15 minutes, so go ahead and call in your questions right now. 308-9564, that is the voice line. Both lines are available. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Before we go to our next question, please remember you can get the Bible Correspondence Course sent to you this week. You'll get it this week, and you can begin your journey of an eternity to where that you'll discover things you may have never heard before, never seen. Many times we have been to your homes and you have told us, I've never seen that before. I've even had preachers that I've studied with. Yes, we will study with your preacher too, if he is open to having a study. And they've said, I've never seen that before. Isn't that interesting how someone can study, be religious their whole life, and yet miss some very vital things? Well, don't let it happen to you. Find out the truths that will help you for eternity by studying God's Word through this course, even this starting this week. Call 553-5157, 553-5157. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call us 308 with your question, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Ricardo, you've got the next question?
Yeah, we have a text question coming in from the last four, 3247. The question is, when God allows us to practice evilness, does he turn his back on us during our continuous state of disobedience? Two passages for you. First one, Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, that is your sins, have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear you. So does he turn his back? Yes, he chooses not to hear us while we're in our sins. Another passage for you, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Verse 27, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. I hope that answers your question. Thank you so much for texting that in to us.
Now, if you have a question, you can call us right now at 308-9564, 308-9564. And we will be glad to get your question on the air today. I have a quick question here from the last three digits of 969. Their question is, this is a text question, can I be gay and still go to heaven? Well, thank you, caller. I sure appreciate your question. And you are to find your answer in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And it talks about a number of people that actually are included in this passage, and I'm going to read beginning with verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And so there's a lot of people being deceived today. Now listen to the list. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexual, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards. Ooh. Nor revilers, or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. There's your answer. However, notice the next phrase. Don't tune me out yet. Listen to what else he says, verse 11. But such were some of you, but you've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. So God can forgive anyone, but we have to turn from those things. We cannot practice those things that are condemned by God. And that's why we've got to turn away from that. So gay is not a biological condition. It neither is theft a biological condition, or covetousness a biological condition. Oh, we're male, we're female, we have urges, we have temptations, but we do not have to follow those temptations. We can turn from those and walk with God, and we can be washed, sanctified, and justified. So there's your answer, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Go ahead and call your question in right now at 308-9564. Steve?
We have a question from Gregory, and Gregory, it says here you're 15 years old. Really appreciate the fact that a man of this age, so young, has such a spiritual interest. Now, listen to his question. How do we know that what they say about the Bible is not a myth? Well, I'm not sure what they're saying about the Bible, but if they're saying that the Bible is God's Word, how do we know that it's not a myth? There's a lot of different reasons, different ways we could answer this. But let me start in a real initial way. When you go to the movies and you see Star Wars and it says, in a land far away, many, many years ago, that sounds like a what? That sounds like a myth. When you read the scriptures show that it's based and rooted in time and space. Read Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, and that talks about who was the Roman emperor at the time that Jesus was born, and John the Baptist came, who was governor of Judea, and who was the Jewish ruler of Galilee at that particular time, and also of Ithuria and Trachonitis and Abilene, and even tells us who the Jewish high priests were. That doesn't read like myth, does it? That reads like real history. Also note these passages. Job 26 and verse 7 talks about the earth hanging upon nothing. How did Job know that when people in ancient cultures believed it was held up by Atlas or on the back of an elephant? And Isaiah 40 verse 22 talks about the circle of the earth when men used to think that the earth was flat. How did Isaiah know that 1,400 years before man discovered it? And so all of those reasons combined, and so much more, the prophecy of Scripture. Why do we conclude that Jesus was born in Bethlehem? Well, because of a Bible prophecy in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. So to sum up, Gregory, all of that is evidences for this is not a book of myth. It is a book of history. It is a book of specific detail. And so that's a very important thing to consider. So appreciate so much that question. If you've got some, like to know more about that, then you can call us after the program is over and we can set up a study and go in more depth about that. But we appreciate so much that question.
We have Joe calling in this question. Joe, thank you so much, and thank you for the previous questioner as well. Thank you for your participation. It shows your hunger and your thirst. You are to be commended, and we are thankful to see your desire to know the truth. Joe's question is, will there be a new Bible in the new world of heaven? Well, Joe, I think that's a unique question. Thank you so much for reminding us of that. And Hebrews chapter 1, you'll find the answer. It says, God in different times and different manners in times past, spoken to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. So we are in the last days that started in the first century. Earlier, Steve read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it began with last days. These things will be happening. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the last days. They started in the last, or in the first century when the church began. This is the last age. There's not another. If we don't listen to him now, there is not another chance. And the reason we know that in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 9, 10, 11, it brings out that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the earth and the works that are in therein will be burned up. And this is it. If we do not get it right now, if we do not stand in God's presence in the way that he wants us to now, there is not another chance. So, Joe, hopefully that helps you with that. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and then also 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 6. You might also want to reference Acts chapter 2, the very first sermon that Peter preached. He mentions, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days. So that's when it began. That's where we're at. And we've got to now make certain that we are showing ourselves approved unto God, getting ready for the next advent of God, which will bring everything physical as we know it. The heavens will be destroyed. That is the sun, the moon, the stars, the sky, the earth, every constellation you can think of. All of this was created to get our attention about God. He wants to bring us home to something even more beautiful. Are you ready? Are you prepared? He's wanting us home. And he made this wonderful universe just to grab our imagination and our attention for us to see what he has prepared for us. Do you want to see it? Why not? Go ahead and enroll in the course at 553-5157 and begin that journey of an eternity. Yes, there is something better than the stars in heaven and this universe as he's made it, he's made a home that will never, ever end. Let's go there. Why not enroll right now? 553-5157. Now, we have come to the end of the program, and we hope this has been a blessing to you. We hope and pray that you have been blessed by this. Be sure to tune in again next week as we go to the Bible for all the answers that pertain to life and godliness as we let the Bible speak.